Sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is Lord whether people like it or not. He is Lord whether they agree with it or not. He is Lord whether they even know about it or not. You know, at a point, as we continue to move forward in these transitions in time, all will be known, all will be made bare, everything will be what it is, and people will end up, regardless of their willful decision, they will all be stuck with the reality of what is what. Because truth always emerges amidst the storm. Truth always stands bright at the close of any kind of difficulties, calamities. You come back to a foundation that can't be moved. That's why the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And that's why he stands at the close of the trial and the storm when others fall. Those that build their house upon the sand, like the foolish men, they end up losing all because they can't stand. They can't stand in the day that comes. They have no foundation. They have no root. And though they may have a flashy, beautiful surface veneer, there is nothing there that keeps it when the time of trial and testing comes. So, you know, I'm back in Austin, you know, there's a lot of construction in the city, and you can tell, you know, when people are building something with a high, that something that's going to be a really tall building, and you see how long in the city they take to dig down and to lay a foundation that can support that top of the building. But in the world, it's not like that. In the world, in the lives of so many people, they don't put a foundation that's grounded in truth, that's grounded in what's real, that's grounded in the Lord, that's grounded in Christ Jesus, who is the capstone. No, they put it on something else. They don't go deep. They just slap up a structure, and they try to build their lives as top and as flashy, as high as they can. But when all collapses, things are just known for what they are. So now, amidst that, the storm comes. The storm is it is what it is, and you know God is no respecter of persons. You know the rain falls on the righteous and on the unrighteous, on the just and on the unjust. Sunshine is for everyone. You know there's certain things that will come in this life, but when they come and when they arrive, depending on where the foundation of a life has been laid and put, is going to determine how the response comes to those things that we face. Because there's certain experiences that are common to people in this life. You know, even as Christ Jesus shows us the way and the truth and the life, and we've been given His Word, there are other things that are out there that are you know, good knowledge and good understanding in different areas in the world. You know, part of people's own experience has been that people suffer in this life. You know, we all go through difficult things. Sometimes when people see a particular person and they just seem to be smiling all the time and everything seems to be going well, they don't realize and they don't know what that person has gone through. They don't know what kind of struggles that person has had to face. They don't know the kind of things that a person has had to overcome. And when somebody walks with Christ, you know, we get shot at more than most just because of our allegiance. What did Jesus say? He said that if they hate me, or if they hate you, just remember that they hated me first. You know, that, and I mean, with the Son of God, who knew no sin, coming into this world and facing what he faced, you know, I mean, of course we're going to have certain things coming at us. Do we like it? No. I mean, I know the scriptures say, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kind, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and that hope does not disappoint. And yet, in our humanness, in our natural frame, you know, the whole reason it had to be written is because that is not our default. Our default is not to be like, oh, this is just great. This is wonderful that these people are shooting at me, though I intend them no harm, and though I try to do right and to help and to bless, as is all of you guys' experience out there, and yet they shoot at you, yet they malign you, yet they spread false accusation about you, yet they come up with all kinds of different things. They sabotage your vehicles. They will spread gossip and rumor. They will try to take away from the efforts that you have. Whatever it is, you know, just realize that they do that because they are still slaves to the enemy of humanity. They're still slaves to the world and the world system. And that darkness that's in them has to work to try to stamp out the light. They're under orders. If you want to see where that comes from, you know, just go to John chapter 3. In fact, let's do that right now. John chapter 3 and start at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. So, realize, brothers and sisters out there, that the reason that we face the attacks that we do is, you know, wrapped up in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So now, when Christ Jesus, when that Spirit of truth was quickened in you, and you went, you had your own transition from, as Paul said, darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Because that was his experience in Acts, I believe, 26, when he's talking to Agrippa about his own transition out of darkness, his own transition from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. So when you move, brother, when you move, sister, from that power of the enemy unto Christ, and the light of truth shines in you, just realize that the world didn't come with you. Okay? The world did not come with you. And they've stayed in the darkness. And even though they have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, even though you have the seven sons of Sceva running around doing all kinds of things using Jesus' name, even though you have people that do all kinds of good works, but they're not connected to the Spirit of God, and their works of vanity, their works of the flesh, their works of personal aggrandizement, they're not connected with the Spirit, and you know, it's something else is with that. But realize that the world didn't come with you when you transitioned out of it, and so because of that, the condemnation of the world is that light has come into the world, and incidentally, light has come into and flows through you. And because of that, also know that, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and that for them that are part of that side, because of the light that's in you and that shines through you, they don't want to come to the light, because even in themselves there's conviction. Being around you, there's conviction. And sometimes they won't be able to express even, because you didn't say anything. Okay? A lot of times you didn't even say anything. You just were there. Just like, for example, you turn on a light in a room that was dark before. The light doesn't have to say anything, it just is. And it shines, and it's going to reveal what's there. It's going to expose what's in that room. It's going to, just by its sheer presence of being a light and being turned on and shining bright, it's going to reveal things. So that is going to be part of what happens. And as you live and you experience your life here in the world, and you go to different places and you just carry on, then it's going to show. It's going to cause a response, have an effect. You know, I'm amazed at how many people on that side of the darkness have taken an interest in trying to throw stuff towards us, or trying to cut down what Faith Mix is doing, or all of that. And you know, it's so funny, because it's just, you know, Faith Mix is just it's a free site. Information is out there. You know, we just seek to be a blessing and a help and a support to other people. And yet, you know, that light is there, and people can't stand it. People that have, you know, built their clubs, which they call churches, and have the people in their another form of bondage and slavery, enslaved into those systems and those institutions, that don't want people to wake up for themselves, that don't want people to go to God for themselves, that don't want people to realize that the life that they have, and that they walk out, that they can be led and directed by the Spirit of God for themselves. No, they want to continue to be the mediator between them and God. They want to continue to be that, to stand between the veil. They want to do that because it's good business. And they don't like it when messages like this are out there that quicken people to walk with God for themselves, to take up that gift that was given by Christ Jesus, that you need that no man should teach you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because He's the one that's going to teach you. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. They don't want you to actually realize and understand that the way was made to the Father through the blood of Christ Jesus, the broken body, that He's the gate. There's no other way to the Father. They don't want you to realize that. No, they want you to come to a denomination, a system, become part of that club. And in the end, the trap is your soul. I mean, there's people right now, I'm enough in a phase of my own life right now where, you know, I'm seeing people passing on from this life that just live their entire existence here in bondage. Live their entire existence here being a victim. Live their entire existence here complaining and griping and enslaved by their own free will, mind you, too. Because life was made available in Christ. A way was made available in Christ. Listen, yes, we all go through struggles here too. That's part of it, okay? I know for myself, I've had my struggles in these last weeks, you know, with disappointments, frankly. You know, we have disappointments in this life. We also have successes. We also have things that go well. You know, it's up and down. But for us, the follower of Christ, it can't be contingent on your external circumstances, because those things will change. Those will go up, those will go down. They'll go all over the place. You have to focus back on your heart and your mind and your spirit pointed towards Christ. I was talking to a friend about this the other day, And just, it's literally, you know, you are either pointing towards Christ and moving and walking and following Him, or you're going somewhere else. But His sheep know His voice, and they won't follow another. So for the follower of Christ, when we cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us, when we follow the leading and the guiding of His Spirit, we move and we transition into something different. We live not like the world lives. We exist not like the world exists. We experience life in a way that the world will never know and never understand, and they hate you for it. But at the same time, that same life that's available and that you live in is available to them, but they refuse to take that up. Because they won't let go of the trinkets of the world. They won't let go of the provision of the world. They won't let go of the illusion of the world. And they've gone in and they've set up their shop there, and it destroys them. But instead of realizing that they're being eaten away by the cancer of this world, they would sooner try to get rid of you. Brothers and sisters, it can't stay like this forever. And it won't. But it was important for us to be witnesses that this is what happens. This is what happens with in a world like this, where those that have gone another way and have separated themselves from God, this is what they do. This is what they end up becoming when they're enslaved to the enemy. Who, by the way, the enemy, his main focus, because he cannot get to God, is to destroy God's creation. You know, the enemy cannot, I mean, you know, there's limitations on the enemy of our soul. And part of those limitations are even, you know, what he can do and how he can carry out, you know, his own intentions and that which is the volition of his own being. But there's limitations on that. And, you know, he can't get to God. So what does he do? Well, he focuses on his creation. That which is made in the image and the likeness of God. To destroy that, to corrupt that, to twist that, to turn that, to make it something else. To corrupt the genome, to mess the systems, to do whatever he can to make it something else. And he'll make it law, and he'll make it social, the social pressure to do that. He'll poison on every side, and yet in the middle of that, God is there with his people. God gives wisdom, God quickens, God shows, God reveals, God will help you through that. He will lead and guide you through. You know, there's a need to just follow those quickenings of the Spirit of the living God. This is why his sheep know his voice, and they won't follow another. The shepherd leads and guides us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. You know, the rod and the staff are a means of pulling us back and directing us. Occasionally disciplining us for our own good, mind you. Whenever God has disciplined us, it has been because we needed that. You know, I mean, sheep have a way of going astray. Children have a way of, if you left a child to his own devices, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I would eat the entire candy bowl. I mean, sometimes you need somebody to say no, you know, for your own good, that you don't destroy yourself. But God will do that by His Spirit. You know, that's the way that it's been with us. You know, whenever God's needed to correct us, He has corrected us Himself. Whenever God is needed to redirect us, He has redirected it Himself. I know there's people out there that, you know, they would love to just tell us what to do. And for some reason, they feel like they have that license. And actually, you don't. You know, I prefer to go with what the Word of God has said, which, you know, is there for us as an owner's manual. you know, helping us and helping us to make good decisions and good choices while we're here in the earth. And part of what that says is that the Spirit of God will teach us. And He does. Why is that confidence so threatening to so many people? Why is that assurance, that understanding? Why is it that when God said, you know, to trust Him and to follow Him, that that is not enough? You know, you're going to have to follow Christ for yourself. You're going to have to trust Him for yourself. Because that quickening the Spirit of God will be the very thing that moves you into the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, so that you can be a part of the impact that God wants you to make. That quickening of the Spirit of God is what leads and guides you. It shows you what you need to know, how you need to be involved, what you need to read, what you need to watch, who you need to call, where you need to go. You know, it is that voice of the Spirit of God that comforts you. And it's also, too, you know, yes, we struggle, okay? You know, we all have like struggles in our time in the earth. But even in the struggle, you know, one thing that you can do is your Heavenly Father knows, and you can take that before Him. You can bring that before Him because your Father does care. And He takes no joy or pleasure in your suffering. You know, at the same time, you know, He's leading and guiding you, and there's a bigger thing going on, and you want to make sure you're on His page. I know that for myself, some of the difficulties that I've faced in my own life, if I look back on them, they've been a blessing. I didn't like it during the time, absolutely. During the time I was going through certain things, I did not like it one bit. But at the same time, there's certain lessons and certain things, certain growth that would have never taken place had I not gone through. So you want to go through. You don't want to try to be pulled out. You want to go through. And in the midst of going through, to pray and to seek the face of God, to be walking in I Am, to be present, to listen to the voice of His Spirit, and to know that in the midst of that He's with you. And these are important things. These are foundational principles. These are lessons that, God help us, I wish somebody would have taught us these things in churches, you know, in our times where we were around it. But those are not expedient for keeping the system going. You know, those systems require dependence and a collective consciousness and a collective involvement. Whereas what God would have you do is come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God would have you trust Him and follow Him for yourself. And sometimes you may be on your own. Sometimes there may be one or two that are with you. Sometimes you may meet up in a group, and that may have a beautiful time of fellowship for a window. And then you scatter again, wherever it is that He would send you. It's up to Him. Because He knows what you need, when you need it. And you can hold nothing in this world so dear and so close that it would ever take the place of the Lordship of Christ Jesus in and through your life. You know, you need to have that Lordship. You need to have that direction and that leading and that guiding. It has to be there in all that you do. Now, does that mean that we don't experience times where we question, where we have our doubts? You know, of course we have our doubts at certain times. And of course, I know people are like, oh, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith is a certainty and this trust. Absolutely agree with it 100%. And if you've lived, and if you've walked, you know that in the midst of whatever it is that God has spoken, that that's going to be tested. And that it's going to be tried. And your faith will be tested. So what is that testing that's necessary? Well, it's got to be that which goes exactly against the fulfillment of the very promise that God spoke to you in the first place. So that it looks like it's not going to happen. It looks like it's not going to take place. Otherwise, you didn't need the promise in the first place. How many times has God spoken? Just look through His Word. And He said, this is going to happen, and this is what's going to take place, and this is why, I've called you, etc., etc. And right away, the very word that's spoken is the very thing that's challenged. You know, things from that point go from bad to worse in the natural. You know, how often did that happen in the Scriptures? How often was there, did things go smoothly? You know, of course they didn't. Okay, several reasons for that. One is the very thing that we read in John chapter 3. You know, light came into this world, but men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. So when light and direction and the Spirit of God is quickening and moving something forward, do you think that the darkness is just going to let that happen? Absolutely not. So just even as Moses is opposed by Pharaoh and the magicians in Pharaoh's court and the rest of that entire experience that he went through, and just as, you know, you've got Paul dealing with Bar-Jesus, who was that person in the king's court that was, or not the king, but just in that ruler's court that was speaking all kinds of things that weren't true. You know, a deceitful worker. And Paul had to pray in Jesus, and speaking, you know, as a representative of Jesus. And when he spoke, you know, that guy was stuck in blindness. Had to deal with it. Had to move through it. Had to move past the deception. Listen, there's a ton of witchcraft going on right now too. There's a ton of attacks of the enemy that are being sent and lobbed, especially if you are engaged in actively in what it is that God's speaking to you and moving forward in that. You're going to get not just the default response that comes from people that are just on that side, but you're going to be a very real target of the enemy, and they're going to send resource from their side after you. So this is where you've got to also use the weapons of your warfare that God has given you. Ephesians 6 is a good place to start and telling you what it is that you have. You've got armor. You've got offensive weapons. You've got defensive things that can protect you and shield you. You've got to use those. Okay, and I'll, since we brought it up, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles is also the word methods, or the same place we get the word methods in our language. I'm not going to play the whole Greek scholar thing. Gosh, that's so annoying to me when I go to a place and sometimes people stand up and they're like, oh, in the Greek this, and in the Greek that. You don't speak Greek. So, you know, people just try to play that game. Anyways, never mind. It's just a side note there. But that's annoying, all right? Knock it off. Just cut it down a little bit, you know. We're all studying. We're all learning. You don't have to try to prop yourself up. Okay. that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we do live in the evil day right now. Okay, so, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and it goes on, a little housekeeping there, about Tychicus and stuff with the early church, a couple more verses there. But, yes, so, our battle, our struggle here in this life is ultimately not against flesh and blood. Now, there's flesh and blood representatives walking around that are extensions of the spiritual powers that we wrestle against. Just like we, as followers of light and truth and connected with the Spirit of the living God, just like we are extensions of God, we are the ambassadors of Christ in the earth. We are representatives of the kingdom. And as we, even as we do what we do, they're out there, doing that. But understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those human agents, it's what's behind them that is our battle. Those are just branches, but we have to deal with the roots and that which is behind. But against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our struggle is. So, since our battle is spiritual, take on that whole armor of God, that you can stand in the evil day, and we're in the evil day. So take the full weaponry that has been made available to you through the body and the blood of Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God is there. And so since you've got all of that, gird your loins about with truth. Now, here's the thing with truth, too. All right? If you're not committed to that which is true and real, you're going to go with the lie or whatever it is. But if you commit to the core of who you are, that you are going to align yourself with truth, then whenever truth, real truth is revealed, you can align yourself with it. And if you've ever believed in a falsehood or a lie, but your ultimate commitment is to truth, when that falsehood or lie is there and revealed, you can shed that. And you can go on with that which is true. The breastplate of righteousness. It's going to protect you in the core of who you are. And that which is, guard your heart above all things. For out of it comes the issues of life. So the right standing that you have with God, let that be protected. Be a protection for you. For also how you relate to that which is around you. And guard your heart. Let that righteousness guard your heart. Because, there's a lot of things that want to penetrate and twist and turn your heart. But you want your heart to truly be in the hand of God. For Him to be able to direct it. And for Him to be able to speak to you in the core of your being. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We speak the gospel. We speak the word. We speak the truth. And we go. Why is it your feet? Well, because you're going everywhere that God sends you. And you carry that message that there's another way. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. With the shield of faith, this is something that, no matter what the enemy sends at you, you've got that trust. You've got that assurance. You've got that hope. You live in the promises of God. And so when the enemy sends an attack your way, you respond with that assurance that you have of what God has said. And you go back to those promises of God. You hold those up. So the enemy sends something at you and you hold those up. And those attacks of the enemy that are founded in a lie fall flat to the ground when they clash against that which is the truth and that trust you have in God. And take this helmet of the salvation, you know, protect your head and your mind with that which you have in Christ. You know, if you've walked through that gate, He is the gate, you've gone through it. In Him you live and move and have your being, and you go in and out and you find pasture. You are in that place. So know that you have that protection, that because the war in this world is for your mind. So you've been saved out of it. So now we're still here in the world, but not of it. So you have that protection with you during your time here. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, and that is your offensive weapon, my brothers and sisters. That is something that you use to cut, to root out, to destroy the works of the enemy that cross your path. Because God sends you in, and there are times where He does have you be an instrument of destruction upon the works of the devil. And when we do that, that which we do is laced with the very Spirit of the living God. And that word that goes forward, it cuts, it divides, it destroys. Praying always with all prayers, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, we have to persevere, we have to overcome, and we pray. And we pray with whatever is going on around us. We pray however God quickens us. There may be times that we get down, there may be times that we struggle, but we still continue to press on. And when you can't, when you don't even have the words, pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of the living God in you knows. God wants you to pray. He wants you to seek Him. He wants that which is in the realm of the Spirit to come into the natural, and He wants you to be part of that. So be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. I know it's a bit rough, but at the same time, God is with His people. And whatever your struggle may be, take it to the Lord. You know, bring it before Him. He's mindful of our afflictions, and He will show us a way out and a way through. And, you know, I know that there's, for myself, you know, it's been tough to speak for a little bit, honestly. You know, it's not been, it's been a bit rough. But, you know, in the middle of that too, when God quickens, you know, we respond. And even sometimes when we don't know, we don't understand, we still respond. He's always our King. He's always our Lord. And whatever question you may have, bring it before Him. Trust Him. And know that He loves us and He's with us. And He has you. So we've already won. We really have. You know, I mean, we are here as witnesses. We're here as ambassadors of the living God. We're here to speak truth and to walk in that truth. And with that, we love you. God bless you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. And, you know, we'll catch up with you guys again sometime soon. Bye. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.